This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, it's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and it's going to be a huge day, like nuclear war huge. We're going to discuss what's happening today with Russia, the West, the government. What will they do? What won't they do? I will, of course, spend almost the entire day on your questions. Someone wants to know, he's starting to get involved locally, wants some advice on how to do that. How do I handle getting interrupted? People are worried about the FBI turning into the secret state police, what that's like. We will discuss that. Are the communists almost done with the revolution phase? All that, immigration, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, let's have a talk. And this is a discussion, if you've listened to this show for any length of time, you know that we have talked about this at length, but we're going to have a just brief talk about this right now. It'll be kid-friendly, but hard to hear, okay? We as Americans are blessed for so many reasons. I hope you said a prayer today of thanks just that you're here right now. As bad as times are and the government is and we are blessed for so many reasons. We'll say it together. Dear Lord, thank you for making me an American. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's just pray for it. Be thankful for it. Why? We don't even really understand what it's like to be attacked by another nation state on our own soil. And I understand, listen, I understand Pearl Harbor. I understand 9/11, and I'm not dismissive of those things, but let's discuss that just briefly. Pearl Harbor, 9/11. We're talking 3,000 people. Obviously, every single life matters. Big deal. When you look at the history of civilian populations being attacked by a foreign nation state, 3,000 people is a bad 5 minutes. That's what it looks like. If you've ever done any reading, World War I reading is great for this. You can go back to the Civil War. Go back to ancient times, sieges of cities. It doesn't matter where you go. We'll go as modern as we can possibly go here. And look, we can make it World War II if you want. Have you ever read the stories of what they were going through in London? You ever looked at the footage of it during the Blitz when the Germans were bombing London? Dresden in Germany doesn't get as much play because it's the filthy Nazis and they're not exactly sympathetic figures, but there weren't all filthy Nazis in Dresden. There were a bunch of completely innocent German civilians who burned to death in their homes. Who suffocated to death out in the open standing outside. Did you know that was a thing? Fire consumes oxygen. It's the fuel that makes fire go. If fires get hot enough in an area, as unbelievable as this is, the fire will suck all the oxygen out of the air and you can suffocate to death standing in the middle of a road. Many have. I want you to think about, you know what? I don't even want to do someone you love. It's too heavy for a Friday. I want to move on to Ask Dr. Jesse questions. I want you to think about your pet. You ever had a pet? Maybe you have one now. Little dog, Muffy. Think about searching through the rubble for Muffy in what used to be your home. Hoping, praying, calling for him. If this sounds harsh and hard, good, it's supposed to. We as Americans are blessed because war like that has never visited our shores. Think about 9/11. We just had the anniversary, just had the 23rd anniversary. I've told you, you need to go to the museum. You remember that day. Think about the people being pulled from the rubble. Buildings collapsed. Cops dead. Firefighters dead. Women dead. It's awful. Think about that day. Every day. Every single day. 9/11. 9/11. 9/11. That's what war looks like in the modern era. Well, really, historically, when it arrives at the doorstep of a civilized population, of a civilian area. That's what it looks like. That's what it's like. And so today, the news out of Russia, well, out of us, it's not something that probably blew you away. Maybe it's not even something you've talked about today. Let's just get out ahead of it. What happened today? There's talk that NATO and the United States of America, remember, we're part of this. We are authorizing deeper long-range strikes into Russia. I could play you a million sound bites. Actually, we have to go to Canada for one of the most jaw-dropping ones. This is that dirty commie loser who leads Canada, Justin Trudeau.
Vladimir Putin says Russia will be at war with NATO if Ukraine uses long-range missiles deep into Russia. How far into Russia do you think Ukraine should be able to strike?
Vladimir Putin is striking regularly in the heart of Ukraine. He's sending missiles and bombs at hospitals, at daycare centers, at families and communities across Ukraine. And it was his choice to invade a neighboring sovereign nation. His choice to start this conflict. And it could be his choice to...
Notice he still hasn't answered the question yet. He's spending a lot of time justifying the decision. That's all we've heard so far, but hasn't answered the question.
End it tomorrow. All he has to do is pull back his troops into Russian territory. But he won't do that. And we will continue to be there to support Ukraine. And yes, Canada fully supports Ukraine using long-range weaponry to prevent and interdict Russia's continued ability to degrade Ukrainian civilian infrastructure and mostly to kill innocent civilians in their unjust war.
Couple things. Just a heads up, those long-range missiles, they're United States of America's missiles, and Vladimir Putin knows that. That's one. Two, more than the fact he's a communist, what I hear when I hear guys like Justin Trudeau give lines like that, I hear a naive college boy who's never heard a shot fired in anger and has no idea what it might sound like, look like, or even smell like to watch his own mother melt into the pavement of the road because the asphalt has turned to liquid. That's what happens when your cities get bombed. And as much as I despise Russia and Vladimir Putin, Russia... they have the ability to visit that where you live right now. This show's coast to coast, nationwide. Shoot, more than coast to coast, from New York to Honolulu and everywhere in between. Wherever you're listening to the sound of my voice, Russia can plant a bomb in your front yard. And Russia, Vladimir Putin himself, and their representative at NATO, I'm not going to play it because it's all in Russian. It won't do you any good to play it. But they came out and said today, this is the line. If you're going to do this, this is the line. You start planting U.S.-made long-range missiles in someone's living room in Moscow, Russia is going to respond. And this is a country historically that has been more than willing to kill every civilian they have in the name of war, in the name of Mother Russia, or whatever the name happens to be. These are not a people hesitant to spill blood. And so that leads me to this, to a way we cope. It's a way I cope with it. Maybe it's a way you cope with it. We shouldn't cope this way, but it's the natural human response. So here's what we do. Here's what I do. I convince myself that as horrible, stupid, terrible as the people are who run this country, and you could pick your name, it doesn't matter. Joe Biden's not running anything, but Kamala Harris, Lloyd Austin, Antony Blinken, pick, it doesn't matter. Pick your one. As horrible, terrible, stupid, awful as they are, surely, surely they would never push us clear into a World War III style conflict that could end up with 50 million Americans dead. They would never do that. That's too far, right? Surely once it got almost to that point, then sanity would take over and people would step in and they would pull us back. That's what we love to tell ourselves. I try to comfort myself with that in the night. But it's, of course, a lie. It's just cope. The people who live in power in this country, here's the God's honest truth. And we're going to move on because I don't want to dwell on this. You know how many of us they would kill if it meant staying in power? Every single one of us. 300 Americans could be laying on a heap of ash. And if these people were allowed to keep their seats of power, it wouldn't bother them even a little bit. They wouldn't shed a tear. And these are the people dragging us into World War III. And I'm worried. So there. I want to move off that. I don't want to talk about it anymore. We're moving on. Just had to get that off my chest. Speaking of 9/11, you know, one of the things that I don't know why it stuck with me, but one of the things that just hammers home in my mind after being in that 9/11 Memorial Museum twice was they have a fire truck there, a couple of them, if I remember right, but one of them, it was one of the fire trucks, one of the engines that was actually at the site. And it's half destroyed because a freaking building fell down on half of it. And you can go look at it and you stand right beside it and you look and you just think to yourself, my gosh, those guys drove towards that on purpose. Tunnel to Towers is the organization that was there for their families after, and they remained there for their families. When cops don't come home at night, when firefighters charge into a building and don't come out, Tunnel to Towers is the one there for the families afterwards. $11 a month is what they ask for. T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Ob's mad at me. I'll go into that in just a moment. But just I want to finish up this talk really briefly on long-range strikes into Russia. Russia now threatening a major war, and we try to convince ourselves, the powers that be, the people leading this country, as much as we hate them, surely they would put the brakes on before it got too far. But the entire history of the world proves that cope to be exactly that. Cope. False hope. That's not how it works in broken, corrupt countries. Remember, this administration got 13 of our people killed at Abbey Gate in Afghanistan. In response to that, they were worried about the poll numbers, so they Reaper drone 10 innocent Afghanis. And afterward, the people who lead this country didn't so much as reprimand each other.
Was anyone ever held accountable by the president directly for what happened with the withdrawal in Afghanistan? And if not, remind the audience why not.
We have all held ourselves accountable for the progress of the withdrawal across the administration, and it was a true interagency effort to get those 120,000 people out and to make sure we removed our diplomats and our military personnel safely. As I said, Ed, not everything went according to plan. Nothing ever does.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to some Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Ob is mad at me, though. I just have to get this off my chest. Listen, I always understood it, that it's our job as men and women to fill in each other's blanks and support each other, right? So the places where she's lacking, that's where I step in. The places where I'm lacking, that's where she steps in. So here's what happened. We have this couple we're friends with, and they have been struggling to get pregnant. This is a struggle. Maybe you're going through this right now, but it's a very common struggle. People struggle to get pregnant, struggle to have a baby. They've been struggling and struggling. And a few months ago, we were having dinner with them, And they told us that they were getting some treatments done. They were doing some of that doctor stuff. I don't know what it was. I wasn't half listening. But they were getting some doctor stuff done to try to get pregnant. And so this morning, sitting there with Aub in the kitchen having a cup of coffee, she said, "Hey, did you ever hear from them? Did they end up getting pregnant?" And I said, "I don't know. I'll text him right now." So I shot him a text. He says, "Yeah, we did." I said, "Hey, congrats." And Aub looks at me and she says, "Did you tell him I was the one who asked?" And I said, "Princess, what difference does it make? We're a team. We're a team here." And she didn't see it that way at all. She saw it. What was the word she said? Something along the lines of, "I co-opt her good heart because I don't have one," or something like that. Whatever it wasn't nice. I'll tell you that much. It wasn't nice. Let's move on. "Dear greatest anti-communist, I've been listening to your show for a long time, but recently decided to actually put my knowledge and common sense to action and get involved in my local Republican Party. One of the most important things we need to work on and get better at as a whole in order to defeat the communists. Thanks for all you do. You're my favorite. Listen, his name is James." There are a lot of things we need to do, a lot of basic blocking and tackling things that you will figure out as you get more and more involved in your Republican Party. Voter outreach things, fundraising, those are all basic politics stuff. So I'm going to set that stuff aside and I'm going to talk to all of us. Every single one of us has to make an adjustment. And this is difficult for people on the right to make this adjustment. It's not at all hard for them. It's difficult for us. I want you to listen to this. This is that he's that commie. What's his name? Ellie Mistel, at the L Mistel, whatever the stupid idiot's name is. He's on MSNBC. I want you to listen to him discuss Trump and Trump supporters. Listen to this.
"Also, to do things, Ellie, that one would think are career-ending. The way he desecrated Arlington National Cemetery would be career-ending for a normal politician. His constant lies. But even this piece about saying, well, my building was the tallest until, you know, they brought down the World Trade Center. Now it's the second tallest. I mean, everything he does is despicable."
"The reason why it doesn't end his career is because his supporters are just as despicable. All right? Like..."
Okay. Well, that's an awful thing to say, and I don't necessarily think you need to go that far, but here's the thing. They've made huge gains and carved up huge parts of our culture because they decided long ago, you are the enemy. You are not a little misguided. You don't, well, kind of want the same things. People on the right love to say that. I have no idea why. It's just a base naivete or wishful thinking. Well, we all want the same things. Have you ever spoken to a Democrat in your life? We all want the same things? These are people who have a worldview you can't even recognize. This is a different species.
"I wish that my son, Aiden Clark, was killed by a 60-year-old white man. But I bet you never thought anyone would ever say something so blunt. But if that guy killed my 11-year-old son, the incessant group of hate-spewing people would leave us alone."
Our flaw, our failure, is they have seen us as an enemy and they've operated that way. We have not. We are in a cultural war. By the grace of God, a fairly nonviolent war, although it's getting more and more violent by the day with how violent they are. We have to adjust that part of our mentality. We have to win. Winning this culture war against an enemy, that's our goal. Now, for you, maybe one of your enemies is pain. Pain. That daily nagging pain that drags down your life and holds you back. Let me ask you, what don't you do now that you used to do because it hurts? Is there something? Tennis, golf, going for a hike, swimming? What don't you do because it hurts? My shoulder now. My knee acts up. My back won't. Try Relief Factor. You might just find that you're back to doing all the things you love to do because Relief Factor doesn't mask pain. It helps support your body's natural response to pain to eliminate it naturally, 100% drug-free. Go try it for 3 weeks. That's all I'm asking. 3 weeks. If it doesn't work, never order it again. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. 3 weeks is only $19.95. That's all I'm asking. Try it. It'll change your life. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Of course, it's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and it's time to tear through those. We've only gotten to one so far. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. What amazing freaking questions tonight. So let's begin. Jesse, you've said on numerous times on your show that Trump should be focused on appealing to the norms and norms in society. But in both debates, it felt like he was spending the majority of his time talking to his base. He talks with an accelerated pace and makes references he assumes people understand, practices one would execute if they were talking to friends or coworkers, not pitching a sale. Am I missing something? I'll tell you what, Chris, grab for me something. I should have had you grab it for him. Grab when he mentions they're eating cats in Ohio or eating dogs. When he said something like that about Springfield, Ohio, they were asking about the Haitian migration thing. So that's what it is. It's a great example of what Trump was doing. But allow me to explain, because you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I'll paraphrase till Chris grabs it. But they asked him something about immigration. Now, what happened there was a common thing that happens to everyone, yourself included. I know it happens to me. I know you've probably heard me do it. You have it, Chris? Oh, go ahead. Play it.
She's destroying this country. And if she becomes president, this country doesn't have a chance of success. Not only success, we'll end up being Venezuela on steroids.
I just want to clarify here. You bring up Springfield, Ohio, and ABC News did reach out to the city manager there. He told us there have been no credible reports of specific claims of pets being harmed, injured, or abused by individuals within the immigrant community.
Well, I've seen people on television.
Let me just say here, this is the
people on television say my dog was taken and used for food. So maybe he said that, and maybe that's a good thing to say for a city manager.
I'm not taking this from television.
All right. Now, I am guilty of this. I bet you are guilty of this. Here's what we do. It's a human nature thing, and it's what Trump did on that debate stage. We're not going to talk about this anymore. It's the only time I'm going to talk about this today. Debate's over. We're done with it. But it's worth talking about because it applies to you. It applies to me. When you are good at something, or when you are extremely knowledgeable about something, whatever that something is, and you are, especially if you're of any certain age, you have some kind of knowledge about whatever. Maybe it's cars or quilts or guns or military matter. Doesn't matter what it is, history things. You, I, all of us, if you are not at zero. We're talking about steps here. If you're not at step zero, well, what's World War II? If instead you are at step 100, you've got 20, 30 years of knowledge on World War II, it's very difficult for you to talk to somebody who's at step zero because their knowledge base is so different than yours. you have a difficult time dumbing down your speech enough to explain it to someone who is not as advanced as you are. Look, I'll actually use Chris as an example here. Jewish producer Chris is one of these work with your hands guys. It's just what he is. He loves that crap. It's not just because he's cheap. I've made fun of him forever for making a menorah out of scrap wood he found in a ditch. But that's the kind of crap he loves, and he's good at it. Like, it's good. You should see it. It's really good. It's really good. He doesn't think it's great, but it's good. It's really good. He's one of these guys who can rebuild a car engine. That's probably fair to say, right, Chris? He acts like, see, he just shrugged off. Like, yeah, of course, of course. So if I ever talk to Chris about a car or car trouble, Chris will oftentimes, even when he's trying to be helpful, he'll use words I don't even know what they mean or where we're at. Well, here, you got to just tweak the dent on the carburetor and you got to move the alternator around. And he's not trying to be a jerk, but he's speaking to me as if I have his base of knowledge. I'm on step zero. I need you to dial that way back, pal. I don't know what the heck you're talking about. See, Chris just told me cars don't even have carburetors anymore. I had no idea. See, you see what I mean? What happened? Remember, my theory, and it's just a theory, but my theory on the Trump debate was that he crushed Joe Biden. He ended Joe Biden's political career last time he had debated. He'd sat back and watched Dome perform terribly on the campaign trail. He has been caught on camera making references to her that really what they reveal is he thinks she's a total moron and a lightweight. In fact, I think he was caught on camera calling her an effing moron, something. I think that's what he said. I think that's verbatim. So it's just what he thinks. Okay, you get mad at him about that, but that's what he thinks. So what I think is that she killed herself preparing. I think he blew off preparations. And when you do that, when you don't sit down in a room and when people aren't saying, no, that's too advanced. No. When you're just going off of your knowledge base, that's when you drop a line. He had an open window right there on immigration. He could have explained the women being raped and murdered, the drug overdoses. He could have explained in 10 seconds the executive orders of his, the wonderful executive orders he did. They closed the border, the ones they opened up immediately. He could have pinned all the illegal immigration stuff on them. And then when it comes to Ohio or anywhere else, talked about how the crime is ravaging it. But all that stuff is step zero, you see. He already knew all that. And he was speaking as if he was speaking to you because you knew all that. And so when it came out, when his words came out, in my opinion, it's because of lack of preparation. When his words came out, he was talking to step 100. He was talking to someone like you who knows all the stories, knows all the issues, knows what Harris did. And so, yes, to your point, this stuff wasn't aimed at Norm and Norma, because Trump has such an expansive knowledge base on these things, as do you. He was speaking to the expert on it. It's history, actually. I have to be very, very careful. Whenever I decide to do an expansive history thing, like I did, last week? I did like 2 hours on something. And it was on Rome, Mark Antony, Octavian, all kinds of stuff. Battle of Actium is what it was. It was last Monday. But when I did that, I had to be careful. Not because I'm super smart, but because I'm a Roman history nerd who's been consuming various parts of Roman history for years. So when I'm talking to you about it, maybe this is your first introduction to it. Doesn't make you any dumber than me, I should point out. Just means it's something that it's been a passion of mine, not a passion of yours. If you're at step zero and I launch into the various formations of the Roman legion, I'm talking so far above your head and beyond you, I'm going to kill the story. You're going to be friggin' lost. You know, Tom Clancy, you ever read any Tom Clancy books? I love Tom Clancy books now. I tried to read Tom Clancy books when I was a child because I would just hoover up every military book I could get, and I hated them. How could any dude hate Tom Clancy books? He uses so much military nomenclature, military language, that for me, I never had any idea what the story was even about. Well, he was using the JDAM with the NVG, and I'm just sitting there thinking, I don't. But now I get all these terms and things like that now. But the way he wrote his books, and I love that he did it. I'm not insulting Tom Clancy, God rest his soul. It was beyond me, and it killed it. So I think that's a lot of what you saw. I think that's a lot of what you saw. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about something a little bit different. Being interrupted. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Got that kid throwing a little hissy fit, do you, Chris? Chris has a new baby, obviously, and just figuring out exactly where she fits in the household. Guess what my kid pulled on me last night, Chris? So, my 15-year-old Luke. The boys they're pretty much banned from electronics and things like that during the week. We'll let them play on occasion on the weekend. They're not, we're not hiding them in a basement, but we control that stuff in our house. So they're really at my mercy, or at our mercy, whatever we want to do. The wife was doing laundry or something, and I was killing time after I got home, and the boys were there with me, and I said, hey, let's watch a movie. And I turn on The Untouchables. Remember that movie? It's an old, great mafia movie. Kevin Costner and Robert De Niro. It's a great movie about Al Capone. And you're not going to believe what my youngest said to me. I about fell out of my chair. I'm sitting there in my recliner. I've got me a recliner for Father's Day. I'm sitting there in my recliner. And he says, Dad, I'm not watching some mob movie. And I said, I'm sorry? Excuse me? I'm not watching some mafia movie. And I said, exactly when did you think that you got to make that call? When was that? And you could tell he knew. Look, he's a teenager. His mouth had written a check his butt couldn't cash, and it had just gotten way out ahead of him. So 2 hours later, he ended up enjoying The Untouchables. So there was that. Dear Purple Nurple. That's not nice. One of my greatest pet peeves is being interrupted. In certain cases, I understand why someone would need to say something mid-sentence and cut me off, but my mother-in-law is next level. She doesn't mean anything by it, but she does it to everyone. But man, it wears on me. My question is this. Do you pause and let them speak, then go back to your story? Do you elevate your voice and continue speaking? Or do you do what I do and quit the story and never ever finish it under any circumstances? His name is Jason. Okay, so I have... Apparently we're going to talk a lot about my flaws today. That's fine. That's fine. I have a real bad flaw. It is a legitimately bad flaw. You have things about yourself you wish you could change. Here's one for me. You ready for the most hypocritical thing you've ever heard in your entire life? I despise being interrupted. I don't think that makes me unique. I don't think there's anyone out there who loves being interrupted. Oh, it's my favorite. Yeah, everyone dislikes it, but I despise it. When I'm speaking, I of course feel like I'm the most important thing talking right now, and I just want to get my voice out there. So it doesn't matter who it is. Kids, friends, coworkers, wife, doesn't matter. If I get interrupted, I get mad. And I'll pull every single one of these things you just said. Sometimes I'll just keep elevating my voice and talking. Sometimes I'll just stop, and then I refuse to go on with the story like a child. I do all those things, everything petty. But you want to hear the worst thing? I do it to other people. I do. I hate being interrupted, despise it, and I'm a little bit of an interrupter. I am what, Chris? Do I try to tone it down? Oh, no. I'm aware of it. And I think I've cleaned it up for the most part as I've gotten older. No, I'm aware of the flaw, but it's still a flaw of mine, especially if we're in a discussion. It doesn't have to be a heated argument, but maybe a debate, maybe something about politics. In fact, I did this the other night. We were talking about Republicans and Congress. I was talking with a political friend, and he said something that wasn't wrong or wasn't correct. And he was mid-sentence, and instead of allowing him to finish the sentence, because to me, he was building a premise that was false. It was about Republicans and cutting spending. And you know how much I yell that Republicans spend as much as Democrats do, and they do. He said, he started out his sentence, I'm paraphrasing, but he essentially said, well, you know, Republicans aren't going to spend as much as Democrats do because, and as soon as he launched into the because, I interrupted him. No, yes, they do. Yes, they do. He didn't even get to finish his sentence, and I interrupted him. I do the thing I claim to not like. I'm the worst hypocrite in the world. What, Chris? No, Chris is right. He said, you let the guy build the argument on a shaky foundation and then you sledgehammer the foundation out from under him. That's what I should have done. But because, again, I'm a flawed person, I couldn't just shut my mouth and let it go. And I did the thing that I yell about other people doing. I wished I didn't do it. I'd do it. Jesse, my husband and I live in the heart of communist Boulder, Colorado. Took a trip in April to look through a red state to move to in our future. He downloaded your show at the hotel each night. One day you did a Medal of Honor tribute and mentioned that the honored veteran had just died a week or two earlier. I thought, wouldn't it be amazing if you did a Medal of Honor tribute to someone who was still alive, who could hear this and feel the honor of the recognition? I would love it if you would consider this. Said I can say her name. Her name is Jen and her husband is Stu. Apparently, they're big fans of the show. Jen and Stu, props to you guys. We have actually done Benavidez before. Benavidez is a stud, an army dude. He earned a Medal of Honor in Iraq, charging into a building. I don't know if we ever sent him the citation, but you know, you'd say you want to do one for people who are still alive. Here's the thing about Medal of Honor citations and people who earn the Medal of Honor. They are incredible and they're wonderful and we'll always keep reading them, and Medal of Honor Monday comes again on Monday. But to earn a Medal of Honor, all the stories pretty much have the same thing in common. You have to do something where it's a high probability you're going to die. And most of them do. Most of them die. If you ever, you know, I tell you, you can go look them up online. And you can. You can go look up every Medal of Honor citation online. There are ones that we don't do. And honestly, maybe we should do this on Monday, Chris. Maybe we should grab four or five of these and do them. You know the most common ones in my readings? I love reading them myself. I do it in my private time. You know the most common ones you read? The guy who jumped on the grenade. He jumps on a grenade and he saves his friends. They're almost always short reads. They're very short reads. You know, they're in a fighting hole. Grenade rolls in. He jumps on the grenade. He absorbs the explosion, kills himself to save his friends. It's the most common Medal of Honor citation you will read. If you read through them, you'll come away. I swear it's half of them are guys who jumped on a grenade. Now, what that guy did doesn't make for a sexy Medal of Honor citation because it's very short, it's brief. He's not charging machine gun nests and bayoneting Germans. He's not doing these things, but he's doing something that guarantees his death to save his friends. That's really the essence of the thing, and that's why, I mean, there just aren't many of them that live. There aren't many of those guys around. Anyway, speaking of being a man, how are your T levels, gentlemen? How are they? When's the last time you had them checked? As you've gotten older, and this is not reserved for 50, 60-year-olds, 80-year-olds, as you've hit 25, 30, are you lacking the energy you used to have? Are you not quite as pepped up and full of good mood as you used to be? You know that T levels are dropping because we are drinking estrogen. I just want to make sure you understand that. Get a male vitality stack from Chalk in your body so you can tackle this problem naturally. Male vitality stack from Chalk. They have female vitality stacks too for the ladies. But fellas, 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days will change your entire life. It'll change your whole outlook on life. It'll change your relationships, your time at work, your time at play, whatever you do. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.